This week I was driving down Trent Road here in New Bern, and it was after dark, and I noticed something about a car that was on the opposite side of the road, sort of headed in my direction. It was still pretty far away, but it was just sort of a weird glow that was coming from the inside of this car. It was odd enough that it captured my attention. I couldn't take my focus off of it the entire time I'm driving as this car is coming towards me. It kind of had that sort of otherworldly feel, like a UFO or something like that, or possibly like someone had a lightsaber on the passenger side, you know, inside. And I was like, that's really dangerous if that's what it is, right? You can't just ride around with a lightsaber, right? Nobody agrees with that? I mean, what kind of place is this? No, I'm just kidding. So as we got closer and closer, I got more and more intrigued, and I couldn't figure out exactly what might be causing the car to sort of light up from the inside. It wasn't a dome light. It wasn't even like a reading light, but it was some sort of a glow coming from the inside. And it wasn't until our cars actually passed each other, as that car passed me and as I looked over, I realized that riding in the passenger seat was a blow-up, light-up Frosty the Snowman. This is a true story. This is what's happening in your hometown here in New Bern. And I honestly, I don't know where Frosty was headed. You know, I don't know what his destination was, but I hope he arrived safely. Now, truthfully, I think this kind of travel is sort of dangerous for a snowman. I mean, I did notice he had his seatbelt on. I did notice that. But what if someone, you know, it's been cold this week, what if they had the heat cranked up? You know, I mean, that could be, he could just end up in a puddle there in the seat. What if someone stopped too quickly? You know, would that seatbelt keep him from becoming a pile of snowballs there in the snow? So I was just, it's kind of puzzled me all week. I've thought about, I hope that he arrives safely. I will say this, if I lived in a city like Washington, D.C., or some other metropolitan area like that, I would have Frosty ride with me all the time because I feel like I could get in the HOV lanes with no problem, right? And even if I did get stopped, I mean, what policeman would give me a ticket for riding with Frosty the Snowman? I just think it's an easy way out. And it introduces the idea that we've been talking about this month as Micah sort of preluded to, the idea of arrivals. I'm old enough to remember, maybe you are, when you could still go to the actual gate at an airport and wait for somebody at the gate. Anybody else old enough to remember that? I think it was the year my sister got married. We grew up on the East Coast. She married a guy she met at college. They got married a month after they graduated from college and moved to Iowa. And so that first year, this is the first time, obviously, she's just newly married. This is the first time she's moved away from our family. And so they came home for Christmas, if I remember correctly, that first year they were married. And so it was about 6 months after they had been living in Iowa. And so my parents and I went to the airport to pick them up. And this was back when you could still go to the gate. And I sort of remember waiting at the gate, looking for my sister, looking for my brother-in-law to come off of the plane. There's that anticipation, right? There's like that excitement about seeing someone come off the plane like that. You're looking for the face of someone you love to emerge from that crowd as people come down the jetway into the terminal. And then the joy, right, when you finally see someone. And I kind of remember my mother seeing her daughter, and they hugged, and it was kind of a nice scene. I want to share a video. This is my favorite video that's sort of been popular this year, and it sort of captures that feeling that I'm talking about. And that's my goal, is to kind of give you that feeling, that joy and anticipation of seeing someone. This isn't about an arrival, but it is about a little girl who finds her family as she looks out after a school or some sort of Christmas program. Watch this video. This is my favorite this year. I just love, I don't know what's going on in her little brain, right? But I can almost imagine that she's not sure if her folks are there or her family's there. And you can see sort of a little bit of panic or a little bit of angst in her face until that very moment when she sees her family. And she not only lights up, but she waves and she finds joy. And she has to wipe the tears of joy from her eyes because she's teared up a little bit. And that's the feeling I think that I'd like for us to get, right? And some arrivals are more significant than others. Like a loved one coming home for a visit. Maybe you've experienced that even this evening or this weekend or this week. Or maybe a military mom or dad who's been deployed coming home, right? That's a significant arrival to both the military and the family waiting for their arrival. Or how about a new baby being born, coming into this world? I know there are a few of us in the room today who are looking forward to the arrival of someone, maybe even tonight, right? I think this guy drives a sleigh. Anybody excited about that arrival, right? Some arrivals are more significant than others. But if you give me just a couple minutes today on Christmas Eve, I want us to talk for just a couple minutes about the greatest arrival of all time. You see, Christmas, I believe, is really about God's arrival. Back in the Old Testament, God told a man named Abraham that through him, through Abraham, the entire world would be blessed. And from that time forward, the world waited for that promise to come true. And so throughout the Old Testament, that anticipation, right? That look like on the little girl's face when she couldn't quite find her family. The Old Testament, the people waited. They were looking forward, and that anticipation continued to grow as the world waited and looked for God to keep his word. And then near the end of the Old Testament, there's 400 years of silence. Like 400 years that God stopped speaking to his people. And then out of that darkness and silence, God spoke to a priest named Zechariah. And through an angel, God told Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth would have a baby and that this baby would have the spirit of Elijah and would announce the coming of the long-awaited Messiah King. Not long after that, God spoke again to a young woman named Mary. I'd like to read from Luke chapter 1. It says, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end." After all this time, thousands of years since God spoke to Abraham, God keeps his promise. The Messiah would be born. And in Luke chapter 2, Luke writes, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." God arrived. Jesus was born. And to be truthful, there wasn't much fanfare. That moment sort of slipped through time, much like most moments had slipped through time. No parades, no hoopla, just a few shepherds who were told that he had been born. And into this dark world, a light had dawned. See, Isaiah in the Old Testament had predicted this moment. In Isaiah chapter 9, he says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And then down in verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Apostle John, in his telling of Jesus' arrival, said, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So, yes, the Christmas story includes the angels and shepherds. It includes a young couple and a manger. But the story is really about God's arrival. The one who created this world, the one who created life itself, became the light so that we could have light and life. Why? So that you and I could be reconnected with God. So that you and I could see God. So that you and I could have that feeling like the little girl who sees her family in the crowd. I read a story about another little girl who was afraid of the dark, and each night she would get up after her parents had gone to bed, and she would sneak out of her bedroom and she would turn on the hall light. And this went on for some time, and her dad started to take notice. "I know I turned the light off in the hallway. Why is this on every morning when I get up?" And it wasn't so much that they cared that the light was on. It was just that they had rules, and once you go to bed, you're not supposed to get out of your bed unless you need something. And you let mom and dad know. They didn't want their kid wandering around the house or going outside. So her dad suspected what was happening. So one night, he waited for her in the hallway. And sure enough, after she thought everyone was asleep, she opened her door, and she froze. All she saw was a silhouette in the hallway, in the darkness. All she saw was, it was her dad's silhouette, but to her, she didn't know who it was, and it scared her. And it wasn't until he turned the light on that she knew it was him and ran into his arms. You see, so much of our lives, and maybe the entire lives of some, are spent hauntingly aware of some strange presence down a dark hallway. We know he's there. We see some figure of a being our conscience says is bigger and stronger, but we don't truly know him. And we won't truly know him unless he turns the light on, unless he reveals himself. And you see, I think he has. Have you ever played hide and seek with a toddler? Anybody? Like, with a toddler, it's really fun because as an adult, with a toddler, I could stay hidden forever, right? Eventually, you have to stick a toe out from behind the curtains or, you know, stomp your foot or say their name until the toddler's attention is drawn to where you are. And that's what God did when he sent Jesus into this world. He turned the light on. He revealed himself to us. And that's the story of Christmas. God's arrival, light and life for everyone. So here's my prayer. May God reveal himself to you this Christmas. And may the light of life come to your awareness this year. And may we all recognize God because he has sent the light into this world. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for this season. And Lord, in the midst of all the hustle and bustle, in the midst of all of the things that we've had to do to prepare for such a special day, let us not lose focus. Or let us not lose the ability to see things for what they really are. God, that you loved us enough that you sent Jesus. That in him, God became flesh. That in him, you turned the light on so that we can see you. And Father, I just pray for everyone here. I love the voices of these children in the room. I love the families that are represented here. I love that we can come together in this place and we can remember and reflect and thank you for sending Jesus, the light of the world. It's in his name that we pray.